If you saw the opening scene of the most recent James Bond movie, Casino Royale, you may have unknowingly been introduced to what some are calling a new sport, parkour. It's a sort of freestyle acrobatics or gymnastics, only the apparatus is ordinary urban architecture. The most adventurous devotees seem to defy gravity, running up against vertical walls, flipping over handrails, leaping, almost flying from rooftop to rooftop. While skateboarding and snowboarding had their underground VHS tapes to help capture a broader following, parkour may be the first sport made popular entirely via the internet. Its origins can be traced to one man in the French suburbs, David Bell, who had no intention of popularizing anything. A couple of clips of Bell were posted on the web, and soon aspiring youngsters were posting their own clips and meeting online to form their own parkour clans everywhere from Lithuania to Japan. New Yorker writer Alec Wilkinson made a pilgrimage to Paris to talk with parkour's patriarch, and he says the mythic tales Bell heard about his acrobatic fireman father stamped his destiny.
All the stories that he heard about his father were sort of hero stories, Superman stories and Tarzan stories. David wanted to be Spider-Man, and so he really literally devised ways of swinging from tree to tree and jumping over rocks and climbing up walls and leaping from one stairwell to another.
Now, because it is so breathtaking to watch and it's stunning video, it is just made to order for the YouTube world, eh?
Yes. I can't think of a circumstance like it in which a completely private activity engaged in by a solitary person with his friends became something that spread around the world. Of course, it's all and entirely because of the internet.
Now, you mentioned that David had dreamed of being Spider-Man.
Yes.
Do I understand that he actually had the opportunity to be Spider-Man?
He did. He did. He was offered the role, I think, for Spider-Man 3 of being the body double, as it were. It had been his childhood ambition, really, to be that kind of figure. In the end, though, when finally turned this opportunity down because he had come to feel sufficiently committed to pursuing his own performance of parkour, he reminds me of what I have heard and read about the figure of Charlie Parker. He seems committed entirely to what he is doing. He doesn't seem to be one of those people who sees necessarily choices between engagement with the world or disengagement. He simply really wants to do parkour. He'd like to bring it himself to as many people as possible by means of performances and shows, but he's not sufficiently ambitious to really figure out a way to make it happen. Before he does, I suspect someone else will figure out how to popularize it. Certainly, the man who was in Casino Royale, Sebastian Foucan, has stolen the march on him a little bit, and it's one of the reasons they no longer speak.
Now, it's clear that much like the videos, the sport itself has gone viral. People all over the world are doing parkour.
Yeah.
Does David Bell feel that he has Does he feel he's lost control of his invention?
I would think no, because, again, he is so revered that, you know, in other parts of the world, there are right now arguments going on about whether or not David Bell would approve of that maneuver. You know, here's a new thing I'm trying. Well, that's not parkour, man. Dude, that's not parkour. Very heated, vehement kind of website exchanges. So I don't think he probably feels he's lost control. I think it may happen once marketers really get hold of it. You know, once Nike really figures out how to build a parkour shoe.
One more thing. As a former bored adolescent, I can say that I've invented, probably half a dozen sports myself, including my beloved sock golf, which is played with a couple of balled up socks in a trash can, indoors or outdoors. Do they have any chance to go viral, or do they have to be just breathtaking to witness in order for this phenomenon to play out?
Well, I'm sure it has a lot to do with the dramatic impact, and you alluded to it before. It's so spectacular to see. And I cannot myself watch any of these films of Bell as many times as I have without my hands and feet breaking into a sweat. It's a little like watching Macbeth and sort of wanting to yell out from the audience, "No, don't do it." It seems to me it was like hearing the Beatles for the first time. It was so different from everything else. It had so much vitality. To the kid who was wired to receive this kind of particular electronic charge through the screen of his computer. I think it's all but irresistible. And it plays on those adolescent themes of superheroes and fantasies and having a response for life that seems larger than life, when in fact adolescence is all about being utterly sort of terrified of life around you.
Alec, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And, you know, when you get ready to do 7,000 words on sock golf, you just give me a holler.
I'll go to the source.
Alec Wilkinson is a writer for The New Yorker. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited this week pretty much by me. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Madeline Ellish and Andrea Ambro. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.